want you to hear a message tonight of encouragement. I don't know about you, but I could go for some encouragement. And we need encouragement today. So let's pray right now again. Father, I pray that you would encourage us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as beautiful as it is to get a pat on the back or a thumbs up from somebody, there is nothing like being encouraged by you, Lord. In fact, it's truly the only encouragement that really sticks for us. And we're asking you now to encourage us in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, if you have a Bible tonight, grab it and open it, if you would, to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 22, just those two verses, but they're very, very powerful verses. Acts 14, beginning at verse 21. And while you're turning there, the apostles were on the move. The gospel was spreading throughout the known world. It's some years now since what's called the diaspora. That is when persecution began to break forth on the church in Jerusalem, which God was using that, mind you, as the Roman Empire began to persecute the church and Judaism began to persecute the believers that were converting. I don't like to use that word converting to Christianity because in all reality, as Jews were reading their Bibles and hearing the gospel preached, they were being completed. I'd rather use the word completed rather than converted, because the word converted implies that there's been some change in what you believe. And if tonight you happen to be here and you're Jewish, then what I would encourage you to do is complete your faith by coming to Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And that's what was going on. We don't remember that, but the early church was Jewish believers that have been completed and that they've come to Christ as Messiah. They saw Jesus in the Old Testament. And they saw the fulfillment of all of the promises of the prophets and of Moses. And it was normal for them to come to Christ. It was a natural thing for them to do. If they looked at the scriptures, they would have naturally embraced the gospel. And so, as the gospel is going forth, now the church is under persecution and believers are going all out into the known world. By the time we get to Acts chapter 14, a great thing is going on. A great thing has come to the apostle's mind, Apostle Paul. And it says in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, that is, many people were converted to Christ, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And here it is. And they strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. This is a great night to do the same for all of us, to be encouraged tonight. And we want to see the things that God is doing in this world. We want to remember the things that God has done, but we also want to look ahead to what the Lord is about to do. Listen. This morning I found an old book. In fact, one of my family relatives had an old book that I had given to my dad in 1990. And I had written a note to my dad and I said, Dad, you know, this is a great book. I'd like you to read it. And it was a book written by Vance Havner. He's a tremendous author. He's now in heaven. But if you can get anything by Vance Havner, read it. And so, after my dad's death, this book, just a couple weeks ago, made it back to my hands. And I was reading it this morning. And there's a chapter in that book where Vance Havner says, the danger for all of us as Christians is to lose the wonder of God. And he encouraged all of the readers of that book to go out and take a walk again. And in that book, he points out the sound of the woods and the sound of birds and the sound of the wind blowing through the trees. And I was reading that and it struck me for a moment how removed all that stuff is from us. We've gotten so professional and so polished and so busy as a culture that we have forgotten the simple things that truly are an encouragement. This weather should be an encouragement to us. And I know it sounds insane, but even the earthquake yesterday was an encouragement, because it reminded me about the power of our God. That God, our God is able to comfort us in the midst of the earth shaking as our east coast of this United States began to shake. And now they're telling us that 13 states were rattled by that quake. And The magnitude of it. You say, well, it wasn't very big according to California standards. That's true. But it shook on granite. The East Coast is granite. And when it shook, it began to transmit the waves over 13 different states. And there were all kinds of things going on. And we hear of damage and see of damage taking place. But how many people in the last 24 hours were calling out to God on the East Coast? People went to churches we're hearing now to pray. Why? Because people need encouragement. You and I need encouragement. And as we look to Acts chapter 14, I want to look at a few things. Look at verse 22. Look at the word strengthen. That the disciples went back to areas where believers had come to Christ and they were in churches. And he mentions the area of Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And the Bible says that Paul strengthened the souls of the disciples. First thing I want you to consider tonight, and I just want to wash over you, is that you and I, we need to be strengthened in our souls. Our souls, the word psuche, soul, mind, the way that we think, like never before, we need to be comforted and encouraged. And so when we read the word strengthen here, it's the word to confirm or to reset. It's to bring back into focus. And I thought about being a disciple of Jesus. You and I are disciples. Are you a believer tonight? Raise your hand. You trust Christ? That's awesome. The Bible says we're disciples. That means we're following our teacher. That's what a disciple is. One who follows his teacher. And being a disciple, listen, being a disciple, maybe it's for me. I don't know. I hope you can relate to this. I am not easily encouraged. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm following him. But I'm not easily encouraged. You and I have tasted a bit of heaven. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We long to go home. We've never been there, but we've longed to go home now as believers. We can't wait. And when we see the world doing what it's doing, yes, we occupy till he comes. Yes, we are busy about our Father's business. But isn't it true that we've got one eye, as it were, looking up, waiting, looking, waiting for that trumpet blast, waiting for that coming of Christ? That's what encourages me. You and I, listen, you and I need to encourage each other. We need to say it. We need to do it, church. But down deep inside, let's be honest. You know, one of the telltale signs that you and I belong in heaven is that we're not easily encouraged unless God encourages us. I want him to speak to me. I want him to encourage me. I appreciate the pat on the back that you might give me, or the thumbs up, or the high five. And that's great. And let's do it, church. But there's nothing like when God speaks a word to our hearts in that time of quiet. We could be driving down the freeway in the hubbub of traffic. There's that moment, if you know what I'm talking about, where there's this thing that takes place in a nanosecond of time. And it's an infusion of reality that you belong to God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Lord, thank you. And it's an instant rush. And it's that little bit of a hug or that little bit of a squeeze that God gives his child in this world. I'm glad that we are not easily encouraged as believers, because if we were, then anything of this world would encourage us. Nothing now in this world encourages us. The only way it can is if it speaks to us about our Father. We don't worship the sun, but when it rises and it sends a beam of ray of light across the sky, or it hits a cloud and makes it pink in the morning, we say, thank you, God. We need to get encouraged again. We need to slow down and be encouraged. On Sunday, in one of the messages, I mentioned that we bought that canary that was at the Cahoots pet shop. And it's just singing. And we've only had it for about a week, I think. Not even a week. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, a week today. And he hasn't stopped singing. And I went online about canaries that sing. And all the websites were saying, give your canary these vitamins. Give them broccoli. Give them an orange. It makes them sing. Listen, I can't get mine to stop singing. This morning I went out of the room and there's a towel over the cage. And it's all dark in there and he's singing. And it just cracks me up, because Lisa and I, early this morning, trying to exercise, took a bike ride around the block, and we were on the other side of our neighborhood, on the street behind us. And the window was open in our house, and we could hear him singing 50 yards away on the backside of our neighborhood, he's just praising the Lord. I believe he's praising the Lord. And it's an encouraging thing. Now, you could look at it and say, man, that thing would drive me nuts. But it's praising the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that's a very encouraging thing. When you and I are walking with Jesus as you are, church, then though we encourage one another, there's nothing like getting encouragement from heaven. The next thing that we realize is this. The Bible teaches us from this word of encouragement that Paul says here, that the Bible says that they strengthen the brethren, is that you and I are not often confident. Let's be honest. I want to be very honest with you tonight. This is a family evening. Confident. What does it mean to be confident? Well, it depends. You can be self-confident. That's very scary. I think our culture today is ailing from being too self-confident. At least that facade is being displayed. But being a disciple of Jesus, I'm aware that I'm not often confident. And that almost sounds like a admission of weakness. But I think it is. When we talk about loving God and serving God and doing God's business, Christian, what you and I are doing for the kingdom of God, we're not often confident. Maybe we're not supposed to be. Maybe you and I are not supposed to be confident. The Bible tells us, Paul said it, he said, my grace is sufficient. The Lord spoke to Paul and says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, therefore, most gladly then, would I rather boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you weak tonight? Are you not confident? Are you serving the Lord and you feel like you're inadequate? Absolutely. Welcome to the family. If there's anything going on in your life where you can say, I've got it, God, I can take it from here. Listen, Christian, I'm blessed by you. So many of you sign up. So many of you get involved. So many of you participate. And I know how it is. The moment you step out, there's the whispering in your ear, you can't do this. Many of you, imagine, many of you who attend this church have not yet signed up for something that God is asking you to sign up for. And it's not that you're rebellious. It's that you've become timid because you're thinking, well, I'm not bold in this thing. I'm not confident in this thing. And so I can't do it. And yet the lack of self-confidence at the same time having your confidence in Christ qualifies you. Your weakness and my weakness, church, listen, the reason why this church continues to grow is that we don't know what we're doing. Let's be honest. We pray, we study, we pattern as much as we can after the Word of God. We're still learning, we're still catching on. I think I've told you guys before, when this church was just coming together, I met with Pastor Chuck and I said, I feel so inadequate, I'm terrified, I'm scared to death, I get knots in my stomach before service, I have dry mouth, I feel like throwing up. Will that go away? Is that going to stop? When will it stop? And Pastor Chuck Smith said, it's not going to stop. He says, the day that it stops is the day that you need to worry. And I go, but you look so calm. You look so collected when you're up there. And he said, that's the Lord. He said, I'm nervous beforehand. I'm wondering, is God going to show up in the message? And I said, Pastor Chuck, have you ever had a message just flop? Just come out and it's dry as Ezekiel's bones. And he said, oh, yes. And I'll look at my watch and realize, oh, dear, Lord, help me. I've got 22 more minutes of this. This is native to the work that you and I have been called to do. And so many of you are doing it. People are coming to this church because of your witness. I had people tell me, literally, I'm not kidding, Pastor Jack, we tolerate the Sunday services because our children are growing so much in the children's ministry. Hey, listen, I told that person, praise the Lord, we'll take you any way we can get you. It's not of us. It's got to be of Him. And so I want to encourage you. You're doing an awesome job. Your witness is amazing. I got an email today from Washington, D.C., and this person said, I've heard about your 9/11 services, and I'm wondering if there's anything that you can send here to our location that we could put up and show and display for a 9/11 service. Is there anything that's ever gone on at the church in the past on a 9/11 service that others may be benefited by? And I'm thinking, how can this request come to us? In church, I think as long as you and I cannot accurately define what's happening, that's a good thing. Warren Wiersbe says that if you can describe everything that's taking place at your church, then God's not the one doing it. Think about it. And so I want to encourage you to continue on. Also this, being a disciple of Jesus, we're not always strong, are we? We're not always strong. We need to remember that. We tell ourselves, well, when I get really spiritual, then I'm going to get involved, or then I'm going to do this, or then I'm going to do that. Listen, it's an amazing thing. You will never grow spiritually deep until you get in the water, until you get in the river. And God begins to use. God begins to pour out. God begins to take you places. And I want you to remember that. I want you to be thinking about that. And then the next word is not just strengthen. He goes on. He says that he exhorted them. Look at that, verse 22. He exhorted them to continue in the faith. Maybe this is the most important thing tonight for all of us. And I want to exhort you tonight to hang on. The word exhort means to stay in there. It means to remain at it. It means to not abandon your post. Not to go AWOL. Not to give up. Boy, I tell you, this is something that's huge today. Far too many are giving up. And I want to encourage you to hang on. I want you to stay in there in three ways. Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't wait. I know it's going to take us forever, but on Sunday mornings, we're eventually going to get to the topic in 1 Corinthians on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I had a conversation recently with a guy from Dallas Theological Seminary. He was looking for a job, and we were talking on the phone, and he said, well, this is what I believe. And I said, well, what about this? I said, what about the filling of the Holy Spirit? And he said, well, I don't believe in that. I said, well, give me the scriptures. I don't want to hear your persuasion. Give me the Bible scriptures. Give me the references as to why you don't believe it. Everything he gave me was a denominational argument. Why his denomination doesn't believe it. And he says, why? What do you have? And I said, well, here we go. And I went through the Bible about how you and I will never succeed in the things of Christ without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And far too many people have been damaged by this hyper-charismatic doctrine that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to run around with your hair on fire, speaking in tongues, and jumping off of buildings in a single bound. Listen, that's not it. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is, number one, the love of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the manifestation of the gifts. In fact, the Bible tells us, and listen to this, in Acts 4:31, it says, and as they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Think of that. Their confidence was in Christ. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Husbands, wives, listen, sons and daughters. Grandmas and grandpas, be filled with the Holy Spirit like never before, exhorting them to continue in the faith. You and I will not make it unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen, I thank God that as soon as I say that, I rejoice in the confidence that we have in Christ because He will fill us. You know what? The Bible says you and I do not have because we do not ask. And Ephesians 5 tells us, right around verse 18, that we need to be asking God continually to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Try it. I promise you. That's your homework tonight. That when you get up tomorrow morning, you ask the Lord, I want you to physically, spiritually, honestly ask Him, Lord, I was at service last night. I'm going to take you up on that challenge. Fill me with your Holy Spirit for today's needs. Fill me with your power. Lord, I want to see what you said in Acts 4:31. I want to have your boldness. Watch what God does. Do it. Watch what happens. I want to hear from you. Not only filled with the Spirit, but church, I want to encourage you tonight. We all need to be digging in. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:18, it says, commend them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Digging in. Hankering down. Listen, right now as we sit here in this paradise temperature and you see what's going on, and my goodness, the Bahamas today were just ripped by Hurricane Irene. And it's heading toward the South and North Carolina coast. The entire eastern seaboard is in a state of emergency. They have warned today, FEMA has warned, that 80 million people could suffer some form of fallout from this massive hurricane. 80 million people. Think of that. And people are evacuating. And some people, they can't get out. I saw tonight on the news that there's some areas of the Carolina coast and there are islands where people cannot get out. And they said they're just digging in. When you dig in, what comes to your mind? You're just going to dig in. In my mind, I think of soldiers digging in under battle. Digging in a situation where you hang on. The Bible encourages us to dig in like never before. To be committed, to stay at it. When we talk about us being exhorted, the word would say under orders, you are going to dig in and you're going to hang on. What a great thing. Do you remember when we took our vows in our wedding ceremonies? We gave those vows to God. Did you know that? You say, no, I gave them to my husband or I gave them to my wife. Listen, those vows, the Bible tells us that God was listening. The Bible says that He commands us to be faithful to the vows. And imagine tonight if everybody decided to dig in and hang on, to make the marriage work or to make this thing work. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Think about this. Because you guys are the church. I mean, when I say this, I always get some story from some Sunday morning person. Well, we're faithful at Sunday. I'm not knocking Sunday morning people. Okay, but listen, Wednesday nighters, it's just us. It's different. And when I think about you guys, being an example and being a witness, there are people watching your life. Could be Sunday people. Could be your neighbors. Could be people. Could be family. It's always family. Isn't that true? Isn't family always watching you? Family's always the ones to point out something that you do wrong. You know, even if it's a family outing and, you know, it's Thanksgiving or something and you pull up too fast to the curb at somebody's house. Well, you pulled up there mighty fast, Christian. Aren't they constantly watching you? Well, you don't look very happy about the meal. Why don't you trust Jesus now? They're always watching us. But listen, be encouraged by that. Because they're poking and prodding to see if what you believe is worthy of their faith. Dig in. Hang on. I know that many of you are married to non-believers. And coming to services is your respite from being taunted and made fun of. Some of you come here for peace. And you have to go home to the mockery. Don't give up. That husband, that wife, that mom or that dad, that son or daughter. Many of us could attest to the fact that when people were poking us the most, became most vehement, what soon followed was their acceptance of Jesus. They're testing the waters to see, is this guy's faith worthy of me to follow? That's an encouraging thing. Dig in and hang on. Another thing is this. that we all need to be, as Christians, encouraging. Encouraging to one another. I'm going to give you a great verse. We need to really memorize this verse and do this verse in our age. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Listen, this is amazing. "Do not forsake the assembling together as others have done, as some have strayed, but exhorting one another, and so much so more as we see the day approaching. The day of the Lord is coming." And the Bible tells us here in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that you and I are to consider one another. Listen to that. We are to consider one another. And it's amazing how awesome the Bible is to study one another, find out, look at one another, and to know one another enough. We've got to get back to this. Look, I know I've been saying this, and I know that you believe it, but I know our culture doesn't lend us to that much. It's a tough day when we see people texting each other, and they're standing right in front of each other. We're really losing skills to communicate. But we need to interface with each other, and maybe, you know, what if? You know, what if that earthquake could have been here yesterday and it would have been a 10.0? And we would have been here tonight, you know. And we would have had questions like this. I mean, I'm not trying to be weird. Think about it. Do we have any water? Does anybody have any water? Where can we go to the bathroom? Imagine how it'd be with all of our infrastructures devastated. And we've got to care for one another enough in real life to be able to say, "Listen, you guys, you can't go to the bathroom right here. You've got to go over there because it's going to contaminate the area. We don't know how long we're going to be here. So everybody go to the bathroom in that corner of the property." You say, "I can't believe you said that." That's reality. Do we have any food here? What are we going to eat? Can you imagine that in this group, each of us pull out something, or maybe a few of us pull out, I don't know, a couple of loaves of bread, a few fishes. What are we going to do? All of a sudden, the depth of our Christianity will be exposed, and that will be a good thing. Right now, we all look so holy and pure, and positionally before God, that's true. But practically, we'll be doing a lot of growing up when those days come. And a true Christianity will be exposed. And the reality will strike us. And we're going to need great grace. Why? Because you're going to find out that this person that you saw once in a while, or maybe you saw them every Sunday, this person's hot-tempered, or this person's very selfish. And what are you going to do about that? Pastor, I want you to take that selfish guy and that angry guy and shoot them out there where everybody had to go to the bathroom. Just shoot them out there. We won't be able to do that. We will have to actually love one another like we've never loved before. And so listen, in Christ, if the earth should shake and everything comes down, we've got Him, and we're going to have to trust Him to multiply those fish and those loaves. We will have to live together. You say, "You got to be kidding me." And listen, young people, there'll be no cell phones. Listen, the young people have never lived without a computer. They've never lived without a cell phone. Can you imagine? You know, us old people, do you remember how wonderful life was without a cell phone? We relaxed and we could actually take a drive and there was nothing to bother us and all the... Imagine how we would actually be relating to one another. And that's an encouraging thing. And then finally this, I want to enter in with you. To enter in. In Acts 14, 22, at the end it says, and this is what they spoke. They strengthened the disciples. They exhorted the disciples. And then listen to this. Paul and his followers began to say to those other believers, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." It's not great tribulation. It's not that we're going to go through the great tribulation to enter the kingdom. It's tribulations, which is generic to life. But listen, I mean this as a word of encouragement. If you're a Christian tonight, you and I will go through more in this life than a lot of people do that don't know God. He's not punishing us. He has a purpose. Are you going through stuff? Are you a believer? Yes. How come it's not easier? Because you're a believer. God is working in your life, and this is amazing. God is at work in your life, and often it's not pleasant. Maybe you're married to somebody, or maybe you are at a partnership in a work, or whatever it might be, and it's hard. And you're a Christian. What's going on? Maybe you're involved in ministry, and it's hard. We were talking yesterday or Monday, how working in the world, I spent 13 years at one corporation and coming before that in a construction company for some years, and how easy it is to work in the world. And what I mean by that is people put on a smile, they work hard, and they'll do as much as possible. They'll treat one another nice because the thing is, I want to get a raise or I want to get promoted. The motive might be wrong, but it's this presentation. But working in the world, there's no doubt the enemies at work in your life, but when you come and you work for the Lord and the ministry that's going on, or maybe at your company, the ministry's, you're reaching out to people, God is using you in that job, in that place, and you're taking a stand, it's going to be hard. And here's the reason. Listen, the reason is because God is building into you a character that, and I don't know how this is going to work, but there's a character He's building in you now that will somehow matter in eternity. I don't get it. Because I want God to just snap His finger and I'm just like Jesus, you know? Or when I die, I'm just going to be. In God's master plan, somehow with what you and I are going through as believers, somehow translates into eternity. And all that you and I are going through has a great purpose if we're Christians. And so that's why many go through so much. Some it's physical. Some it's emotional or spiritual. Some in other ways. But you and I, listen, you and I are going to enter into the kingdom of God, Christian. It's going to happen. God's going to see us through. The Bible tells us, now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before His presence with joy. Imagine that. God is going to take you, Christian. And you and I are going to be standing there, and I kind of see us with dirt on our faces, you know, kind of runny noses. We got holes in our knees and maybe skinned up elbows. And we're going to be standing there, and the Lord's going to say, come on in. And you and I have a tendency to look at ourselves and say, man, Lord, I could totally understand why You wouldn't want me in there. I could totally understand, Jesus, why You might press the eject button on my life. He won't do it. He never gives up. Do you have a heart for Him tonight of any level? Tonight, do you, can you, will you say in your mind and in your heart right now, I want more of the Lord? If that's in your heart tonight, listen, I want you to know, you didn't muster that up. That's the work of God in your life. God did that. You can't think that thought without Him infusing that into you. Do you want to get closer to Jesus? Is that a struggle? To get closer, Lord, I want You more in my life. Is that your, listen, I'm going to tell you, that's my life. And He's amazing because there'll be times when I just feel so close to the Lord, it's like ridiculous. And then it's as though it evaporates. What's going on? I notice, and you're the same way, the pursuit begins again. To draw closer. Why do you think the Bible says to Go back to your first love. When Jesus spoke to the church, he says, I want you to return to your first love. The church was, and the church of Ephesus was huge. It was influential. It was powerful. It had tons of ministries. It was growing. It was well known. And Jesus said to that church, come back and do your first works. Return to your first love. Where it's simple. Again, you and I are in a family. It's this family. Imagine if you and I are Christians tonight. We'll be together forever. And I know that maybe for many of us, we've not met yet. You realize in heaven, we will know one another, the Bible says, even as we are known. How are you known? The reference is God knows you. Isn't that freaky weird? God knows everything about you. He knows your motives, which you and I cannot know to the full extent. He knows us, and he still wants us in heaven with him. On top of the fact that when we get there, we will know one another as we are known. So how close are we going to be? Close. What's that going to be like? I don't know, but it's going to be a family. You say, well, Pastor, I had a horrible family experience in my life. A lot of people have. Thank God. The family in eternity is not going to be like that. You can start thanking him for that. And what you and I are entering into is his glory. You'll be comforted to know that for over, 20 years now, the board of this church repeatedly, it's just part of the fiber of the leadership of this church. When we come together in board meetings to see all the things that God has done, it's amazing. It's amazing because for 20 years, half of our board meeting time, which is usually about 6 hours long for a board meeting, the first 3.5 hours is us going, what? What? God, you're amazing. We can't believe it. God, you're so good. Listen. One of the things that's always forefront in our decision making, and I want you, if it's not, I want you to adopt this into your thinking tonight, is how will this thing glorify God? Just start thinking that way. What we're talking about, how will it glorify God? Define that. Well, let's have church on the lawn that Wednesday night instead of canceling the service because the sanctuary is being rewired. Question, how will that glorify God? Well, let's have a 9/11 service. Well, how will that glorify God? That's the greatest thing that you and I can be involved in until we enter into the kingdom of God for that final time where we enter into his presence forever. Be thinking, this next decision that you and I make, how will that glorify God? The Bible tells us, and this is for our encouragement, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned or reseasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown down and be trampled underfoot by men. Jesus is encouraging us tonight to do all that we do for the glory of God. And I love that word for our age. Blessed are you when people revile you, mock you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you. You know what? For me, that is much of the internet today. The internet, in my opinion, outside of a few research abilities that you can have, what good is it doing if you get involved in the internet in any other purpose, for any other purpose? Is it not just the most biggest global gossip chain in the world? I had a young man ask me last week, I've been looking at this website and reading this thing, and I'm really discouraged and I'm really bummed. And I said, listen, until you master the Bible, what are you wasting your time there for? What do you listen, if you're going to go on to something and drop an encouraging word to somebody, that's fantastic. But think about that. Blessed are you when people revile you and say all manner. Did you know that for any of you who are taking a stand, and I know many of you are, the bigger the stand you take and the more public it is, the more enemies you will have. And if you don't know that on a public scale, if you've ever witnessed a family member, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, rejoice, be encouraged. And I'm radically encouraged by all of you. And he says that we will, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And I take great comfort in that. When he, Paul, took a trip to encourage the churches, he strengthened them. He exhorted them. And he reminded them that they're entering the kingdom of heaven. Tonight, you and I feel unworthy. That's okay. Tonight, you and I could make a great list of how, as individuals, each of us have failed. That's okay. That's what God's grace is for. But tonight, inside, if you could snap your fingers, as it were, right now, you have the choice tonight to walk up to Jesus and to say to him tonight, I want you radically in my life. Would you do it? Tonight, would you say to him, if he were standing right here, would you make your way to him and say, Jesus, I don't want to breathe without you. Jesus, I don't want to live without you. If you could say that to him, would you say it to him? Yeah. Tonight, if you have never thought of it that way, of choosing Jesus, maybe it's all been some big, cloudy, mysterious thing to you. Why don't you look at it that way? That if he were standing in the parking lot tonight, would you go to him? Can you imagine that people would, and people have always, even when he was standing in the parking lot, a donkey parking lot or whatever, 2,000 years ago, there were people who literally walked away from him. Could you imagine? But listen, that's been going on forever. But would you do that tonight? Would you drive away knowing, hey, I heard Jesus was in the parking lot tonight, but I had to get home. Oh, my goodness. But there's some of you tonight, you would say, I'm not leaving. I am going to stand in line and wait to talk to Jesus for weeks if I have to. And that heart that you have in your chest tonight is the beautiful, awesome confirmation that the Holy Spirit owns you. It comes down to that simple. Would you reach your arms up to Jesus and have him pick you up? If you say yes to that right now, that's because you're a child of God. You've put your faith in him, you trust him, and that one who reaches down to pick you up has already dealt with the sin issue. He died on the cross for our sins. Be encouraged by that, Christian. Listen, when you have a bad thought, when you sin, the Holy Spirit in you convicts you. You hate it. You run to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And instantly in the believer's life, fellowship's restored in an instant, just like a child with its parent. What an amazing God we have. So tonight, listen, tonight we are entering into the kingdom of God, and every heart in here that could bear witness to that choice, when you say, I would choose Jesus right now, I would go meet him in the parking lot. Then listen, you be encouraged tonight. And if tonight you're one sitting here and you say, well, I just want to get out of the parking lot. Do you really mean that? Do you really mean that? That you would walk out on him? The one who loves you more than anyone ever has, more than anyone ever will. Oh, I encourage you not to do that. So church, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, confident in His strength, empowered because He said He would empower you, and tomorrow get up and walk in that promise. Peter got out of the boat and stepped onto the water. Tomorrow morning you're going to do the same thing. You're going to get out of your boat, your bed, and you're going to step onto earth. And I'm going to want you, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to encourage you to expect God to do great things in your life tomorrow. Watch for it. Look for it to happen. Watch Him show up. But if you don't, you won't see Him show up. If you don't step out, He won't be there in power because He won't need to be. He won't need to be. So you make that commitment tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, Your precious Son, that Lord, by Your promise, we solely, strictly, completely rely upon Your Word. We are in obedience to Your Word. Your Bible tells us that You will give us the power of the Holy Spirit if we ask. Your Bible tells us that if we ask, You will give. Your Bible makes it very clear to us, in no uncertain terms. Jesus, You said it. Ask, and you shall receive. Lord, tonight as believers, as a church, we ask You for renewing, a rebaptizing, a refilling of Your Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians, for power. Lord, we need Your power in this late time. To be holy, strong witnesses, to be examples. And Father, tonight we pray that if there's someone here who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus, that right now, maybe in the last few moments, their mind has changed because they went from wanting to drive out of the parking lot to now wanting to meet You. That right now, right where they're at, You would convict them of their sin. That they need You as Lord and Savior. That You, having died on the cross and being risen from the grave, was for them. And Lord, that right now they would say yes. If that's you tonight, right where you're at, you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and wash away all of my guilt and shame, Lord. Things known publicly, things secretly private, things in my heart, wash them away. Tonight you would say, Lord, I believe that You died on the cross according to Your Bible for my sins. I don't understand it. I'm just going to agree with Your Bible. And that without You, I cannot be saved. Come into my life, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. Do that tonight. And Father, I pray right now, and I thank You for this night, Lord, for a lot of reasons. But one of them, the main reason, is that You have blessed this church whereby we have to, and that we get to make changes and repair things, that when these contractors are done, they can be paid their wage. You've made that possible. That the Word of God is going out more and more every day. And that's, Father, because of these people right here, right now. Father, I thank You for this church. I thank You for these people. By their hard-earned, God-given ability, whereby we tithe and give our offerings, the Word of God goes out. And it's reaching soldiers in Afghanistan, and it's reaching executives in New York City. It's reaching people on the islands of the South Pacific. And now, Lord, we just hear that we're going to, that station wants this message from this church broadcast over New Zealand. These are amazing things. And thank You, Lord, that a couple weeks ago there was a radio station network owner in the congregation visiting from the East Coast. And he wants to carry on 17 cities the broadcast of these messages. We haven't even asked for that stuff. You do that. And you shock us, and we're surprised, and we're stunned, and we shouldn't be, but we are, because it's just us, God. And you're amazing. Lord, continue to do what you want to do. Keep us out of the way. In fact, church, can you stand as we continue to pray? Can you stand? I know it's going to hurt for some of us to stand. But by faith, stand. Arise. Father, we stand in honor of you. We stand because of you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that until you come back, everything that you've done here at Calvary, may it just be the beginning. Father, use us more than ever before. We have so many needs. We lay them out before you, and we look to you to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We praise you, Lord, now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord.